Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the best-selling author Ace Atkins, and he is out with his new Quinn Colson novel. This one is called The Heathens. It is available everywhere. And Ace, what I love, one of the things I love about your books is that you always come up with, where somebody comes up with great titles for it. You've had The Revelators and then The Heathens. Those are words that are not really part of our traditional daily lexicon. So the Heathens title, before we get into the story of the book, how long into the process before Heathens came about as the title?
You know, I think I've had that one in my back pocket for some time. I just always loved someone being called a heathen. And, of course, that's a real southernism, you know, to be talking about somebody, you know, as a heathen. And so I had that idea, and it just worked perfectly for the subject matter of this book with these wayward kids. So I've been wanting to use that for quite some time.
Well, it certainly worked. And this book, I know, was based loosely on a case that you handled, that you covered when you were a reporter in Florida. But when the case you handled, where does the comparison start and stop?
Well, you know, it was very, you know, I would say loosely inspired. When I was in Florida, there was a national news story that was a, you know, quite a big deal. This is when I was working for the Tampa Tribune, of a young girl named Valesa Robinson. Valesa was 14 years old, and she and two accomplices were accused and ultimately convicted of killing her mother. And during this investigation that was, again, attracted national attention, they went on the run from the law. They ended up trying to make it out to Arizona. They ended up being chased by sheriff's deputies in Texas and having their tires shot out to trap them. And so, anyway, it took, over the course of the days of the investigation, after the body was found, the attention turned very quickly on Valesa. And, you know, and then I covered the trial. And so the catalyst for me was really, what if these kids had been innocent? And what if they had been set up? And what if, as kids, no one was listening to them? And so that's really was the catalyst of getting the story started, but also the major change-up is that these kids, I'm not really giving anything away, are being railroaded.
Now, that's one of the things that I thought about when I read your book, is the innocence of the kids who are being chased here in this book. Quinn Colson is obviously the sheriff down in Tippecanoe County, and but you've got these innocent kids out there. It reminded me of the movie The Fugitive, where Harrison Ford says, "But I'm not guilty,"
sure.
And and Tommy Lee Jones says, "I don't care." That's kind of what's going on here, isn't it?
It is, and ultimately, you know, that's I've been fortunate over the years, both covering law enforcement and as a novelist, to get to know people. And I really like the U.S. Marshals Service. They're the really the most fun people to work with, and really the most open. And when it comes to answering my pesky questions and that kind of thing, they're always great. And, you know, it's not their job. It is exactly like that. In fact, most marshals I know love those. You know, they love The Fugitive because it is an accurate representation of that's not their job. They're simply trying to track down, who they're looking for. They don't really care whether they're guilty or innocent. And that's really what the split between Quinn Colson, who is the sheriff back in a small county, and a woman named Lily Virgil, who is a U.S. marshal trying to track the kids down across several states.
Quinn Colson he's got a wife, he's got a young child now. How has that affected him in the books as you've written the character now? He's about 40 years old and a family man. How does a family man affect his law enforcement career?
Well, I think that it gives, obviously more stability, more normalcy, and I think more from a, from an author's point of view, more accuracy as far as the way things really would work. And, that's really what I wanted to do with this entire book series. The Heathens is number 11, but to really draw people into this small southern county, this small southern town, this world, and as that goes from book to book, things change and grow. And when I started this book, this series 10 years ago, Quinn Colson was coming home after being at war for 10 years, and he really didn't have very much except for, his rucksack and, trying to, reclaim an old farmhouse that he inherited. And then over the course of the series, now he has two kids and a wife, and he's a an elected official, and so things have changed a great deal over 10 years.
We see a lot of the different Southern characters come through here, and there's people that are mentioned that aren't really in the book, but you've brought back some characters here, particularly one. Can you address why you decided to pull one out of the bag?
I don't know who you're talking about. Johnny Stagg was the original heavy. He was the original, the crime lord that was really, all over everything in everyone's business, both politically and in criminal activity. And, about four or five books ago, his story kind of came to a close. He went to federal prison. He was locked up, and through some events in the last novel, The Revelators, he was able to wiggle himself, out of captivity and find his way back to his power position. And so this book really is the first to see Johnny back in his element, and of course representing himself as a reformed man, which if anyone has ever read any of the books in the series, they know is quite impossible.
Well, do you almost do that tongue-in-cheek as you're writing? I mean, can you even take him seriously as a reformed individual?
I cannot take him seriously as a reformed individual. So, yeah, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. He comes back in this book, and he's doing a lot of, community outreach. And instead of having a club that's, run with, new dancing and that kind of thing, he's opening up a family fun park. So, yeah, he's a lot of his, quote, rehabilitation is a lot of, hopefully, some comic relief in the novel.
This book also takes us out of Mississippi for a while, and that's something a little bit new for the Quinn Colson books. And so what's that like to put your characters in different locations?
That's very freeing. That's a great question, because that's really what I wanted to do with this book. I've spent so much time in the last 10 years building this county, building the town, the history, the people, the family connections, how everything is interconnected. The ability to go outside of that and really to show readers that, the series can work, outside the state and in other places. And it gave me a lot of freedom to write about, there's Hot Springs, Arkansas, to write about the characters in New Orleans and then down in Grand Isle, Louisiana. It's a road trip novel, essentially, is what it is. And I had a ball writing it.
I'm chatting with Ace Atkins about his brand new Quinn Colson novel, The Heathens. It's available everywhere. And check out the first 10 in this series. If you haven't read this one, this is a great starting point for a series, though, for you to pick up your first Quinn Colson book. Ace, one of the things I like about your writing is that you go back and forth between these characters. You cover the Robert B. Parker and Spencer books. You do the Quinn Colson books. You have this story in the back of your mind from Florida. How did you know that it was right for a Quinn Colson book and not any other type of series that you write?
I think that it's really through the changing point of views to be able to get, I think it would be fairly impossible to do it for a Spencer book, because when I'm writing as Spencer, I am only Spencer in those books. I can only write about events that Spencer is seeing and experiencing. And the freeing thing about writing about the Quinn Colson books is all of the different characters and being able to follow different characters through their journeys. And the only way to tell this particular story was through the point of view of T.J. Byrd, the 17-year-old girl who's on the run. And that's why it really was the perfect one for this particular story.
Is it a different feeling to write an innocent character on the run than it is to write a guilty person on the run?
I don't know. I think I probably could write both. I mean, I've written, both type of characters and equally with, guilt and innocence. But I think the idea that she is actually innocent raises the stakes a lot more. And, again, it was something that I came back to, with the catalyst of this true story, but then completely changing all the details about it, of how different it is now 20 years past that event, because we have social media. And, of course, a 17-year-old kid is going to be able to reach out and hopefully try to prove their innocence through channels that are open to them.
Well, and that's always a risky thing for somebody who's innocent to run, because the courts look at this a lot differently. The courts have this whole idea of the consciousness of guilt when you run. And so you have to keep that in mind as you're writing, that this person does look guilty and this will be admissible evidence against them, whether it's true or not.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's kind of what the whole idea of a 17-year-old kid and traveling with her young brother, 10-year-old brother, and for a couple of teenage friends, is they're not thinking logically. And that's really, what sends the U.S. Marshal, Lily Virgil, on their trail, is certainly them picking up and leaving town makes them look even more guilty.
Do you have I know you talk to people and you say you talk to marshals and stuff. Did you have any conversations with young people or people that have been on the run in this type of situation to kind of get an idea of their mindset? Because sometimes it doesn't make logical sense to us.
No, I mean, as a reporter, I did cover, kids that had been in trouble and that kind of thing. But I think, as far as people, kids that have been covered, charged with crimes. I think the main type of, you know, if you want to call it research or just trying to get familiar with it, is I have a good friend of mine here in town who is a deputy sheriff, and before that he had been a school resource officer here at the local high school, and he had come into contact with a lot of kids like TJ Bird who are not only going to high school, but they're taking care of their siblings. They're trying to work. They're trying to put food on the table. They have no parental guidance. They're essentially living wild and on their own while they're kids. And so that was really the making up this girl was, came so much from stories that I heard about kids out there that are, you know, struggling out every day just to get by and actually have no help from family.
Since we last talked, and I've been anxious to talk to you about this because I know you played defensive end for Auburn. You were a letter winner and you've, you know, football guy. Defensive ends are the blue-collar guys on the football team. They don't get a lot of recognition. This whole name, image, and likeness thing that's come about, I don't think it would really affect a defensive end because not a lot of people are coming out to get autographs or buy endorsed products by defensive ends. But what have you thought about all of this as you think about your own college football career in that context?
Well, it is totally different, and I remember, to put things in perspective, is coming from a football family. My father was a college football player and a professional football player, and you know, I used to think about his world of being on a national championship team in the 1950s, of how different it was when I was playing football in the 1990s, and now I think about what the kids now are going through as far as social media being influencers. You know, how much money is coming through, and it is totally different from when I was a kid, and I thought it was as good. I thought it was as big as it could possibly get back in the 1990s. But you know, I think, in all fairness, you know, if the kids can make some money during that time, this does not last forever. And I think it is, you know, when you've got college coaches making absolutely insane salaries, they are getting free labor. And I think that the idea of kids being able to make some money during this time, I think, good for them. And I would love to see a defensive end, you know, get some notoriety. I don't know. There's, you know, some big names in the past. Hopefully somebody can do the same.
Well, and you played in the SEC, and that's big-time football now. Was it as big, or did it seem as big to you back then in the 90s?
You know, it seemed huge back in the 1990s. And, of course, we were, you know, back when I was playing, our team was very fortunate. I was on an undefeated team back in 1993, and it was, you know, but we were on probation, so we didn't get to experience things like the, you know, national championship or bowl games or anything like that. But it seemed like it was huge, but it is, I would say, doubled as far as the scope, the importance. I think it's really what I'd call the ESPNing of sports. You know, I think even when I was playing back then, the NFL still eclipsed college sports, but through the marketing and the power of ESPN, now we've got college sports eclipsing everything. And so, yeah, it's different. It is completely different.
All right, well, this new book is The Heathens. It's the latest Quinn Colson novel from Ace Atkins. He's an Auburn Tiger, and so follow the Tigers and think of Ace. Watch the defensive ends and see if they emerge into big-time players. Ace, just another fantastic novel, another Quinn Colson novel, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Yeah, running down a dream.